I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Wow. Anna, what does it feel like to be 20 episodes old?
I don't remember what it was like to be 20, so I can't relate it back to my actual time being alive in 20, but it sure does make me feel old, like everything else happening in my life right now.
My back hurts. Everything's foggy. I didn't take my medicine, so I regret it. That's basically what our conversation has been leading up until this point. Aren't you so glad you chose to listen to our podcast? Welcome, everyone.
We're not even 30. You're close.
2 weeks, baby. 2 weeks from today. I'll be entering the club. My fourth decade, as my dad seems to remind me every time we talk. He's like, you know, you're entering your fourth decade. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for the reminder.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph. You get a shout out later. But yes, this is our, as we mentioned, well, first, welcome. Welcome to the pod. And as I mentioned moments ago, this is our 20th episode, which is just pretty cool if you think about it when you're not comparing it to age.
We're so cool.
Yep. The coolest.
We're not teenagers anymore.
So I just want to preface this. Oh, but as I felt as an actual 20-year-old, the teenage angst going nowhere. Even if Anna doesn't have it, I have enough to last anybody a lifetime. So
thank you for your fourness and what it brings to the pod.
Always, always happy to be special and unique and like, this is only funny if you get the Enneagram. Anyway, I want to preface this by saying that, you know how the last time we talked, we were like, wow, there was just like not enough soccer happening for us to have like good stuff. And we struggled like last fall with certain things. Oh my God, we had so much trouble picking out what to have as our picks this week because there was so much good shit and we actually were on top of it and picked things even earlier and then stuff kept happening. We were like, oh, we got to mention that. We got to talk about that. So this is probably going to be a pretty jam-packed episode. Might be a little longer. So just like buckle in, bitches. Like, yep, there we go. All right. So I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in with my number three hat pick, which is Mariana Larroquette's goal in the Gotham FC versus Kansas City game that happened sometime between now and the last pod. I forget when. So if you recall, call back, I did call Kansas City Kansas shitty more than a few times, but the goal by Mariana Larroquette that came in the 83rd minute to tie the game versus Gotham was absolutely not shitty. It was not. Before I get to that, Ifeoma Anamanu's goal that happened in the first half was also dope as hell. Shout out to her. And also, just a weird side note, Gotham has played way fewer games than every other team, and I don't know why. Because I looked and like people are like 10 games, 9 games, 8 games, and they are at 7. They played the Thorns today, but I don't understand that. And then also, while we're talking about Gotham, I would just like to take this time to make an announcement about how fucking pissed I still am that Midge Purse is not on the Olympic roster. Oh, no. So, now that we've made that public service announcement.
We as a pod have the opinion that Midge Purse should have been on the Olympic roster.
In the opinion of the pod, every time I see her play, I'm like, why is she not there?
Yeah.
I just, Kelly, okay.
Yeah. I know.
We'll spend too much time. Okay, moving on. So Kansas City is trying to hold on as Gotham is ahead 1-0 toward the end of the match. The ball's about like at the halfway line, right side of the field, and Gotham has possession. Then Larroquette straight up intercepts a pass and does this like hard flick around a Gotham player and then just like goes on a fucking tear. She gets like a few yards out from the 18 and like fucking goes for it, which I love. I would also like to mention that this flick, like that she did to like get around, she like sends it out wide and then runs to meet it. Like that's the last touch that she has before striking the ball, which, like, wow, what the fuck? Like, she is just running to meet the ball that she sends forward, meets it, and then sends it in.
She did her own give and go. She was her own.
She did. She did her own banana run. So this ball, it soars so beautifully into the upper left 90. The announcer said this came out of absolutely nothing, and boy howdy did it. Like, she made that shit happen all on her own, equalized for KC. She's a star for both Argentina and Kansas. Maybe not so shitty. They still have not won a game. I hope they win at least one game this season. But she's a star for both of them. It was such a gorgeous goal. Like, it was so pretty. And I love when people shoot from distance. I see people trying so hard to get all these perfect touches in the box. I'm like, shoot that shit from, like, way outside the 18, baby. Just, like, give it a fucking go.
Go for it.
And I loved it, and she did it, and, like, it made a difference. And so, like, shoot your shot. I love it. Yes. Chef's kiss. That's my number three. Boom.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We love to see it. My number three hat pick. We're going back to the Olympics. I mean, they're happening in a couple weeks. How can I not keep talking about them? And the most exciting news that we've had recently, besides the team actually already being in Tokyo, is that all of the alternates for the U.S. Women's National Team are now full roster members. And, you know, I'm going to talk about how cool this is for all the players. But just to be clear, this means that Casey Krueger is a full-on Olympian, y'all.
Tell you how it feels.
It's just the whisper yeses. Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Casey Krueger was one of the last players that was left off of the World Cup squad, which blew chunks. And she totally deserved to go and is arguably a better right back than the one that we've got now. Looking at you, Kelly O'Hara. Yeah, we can talk about all the mistakes that Jill Ellis liked to make because she wanted to value experience over talent. But, you know.
Maybe you're seeing a little bit of that now, too.
Yeah, and I mean, there's definitely an argument there because, I mean, without having that kind of mindset, we wouldn't have had Allie Krieger be able to come into the World Cup final this past game because she probably wouldn't have been there, and that would have been really hard. But I think that Casey Krueger could have absolutely filled in that spot. So
anyway, we digress. Sorry. Derailed.
Anyway, we have a lot of feelings about the rosters.
Do we?
Yeah. And mostly how angry we are that Kelly O'Hara's on one, especially after, I mean, we're not even there yet, but we almost got scored on in the send-off series because Maria Sanchez is a badass motherfucker. But beyond that, she, like, straight up just, like, blitzed past Kelly O'Hara because she's useless. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Anyway, this also means that Lynn Williams, Katerina Macario, and Jane Campbell are also full-on roster members for this Olympics. Any of them can now be subbed into a game, and they don't have to wait for a player to be injured or sidelined for some other reason to end up playing, which is awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, realistically, we probably won't see Jane Campbell play. It's just the nature of being in a keeper position. But for the other three players, they get used in rotation often enough during, like, friendlies that we might actually see them play. And I think that one of the downfalls of the U.S. Women's National Team is, and especially as we continue to have the players that we have, is the predictability of who we start in games, what positions they play, and how they play them. And so while they are incredible players and, you know, oftentimes that predictability just doesn't matter because they're so good. Having these other players available, players who we don't see play a whole ton, is just another weapon in the arsenal that this team has that makes them dangerous. So the first game for the women's teams in the Olympics is July 21st. The U.S. Women's National Team plays at 4:30 a.m. Eastern on the USA Network.
Oh my God.
All of the games are in the middle of the night. The next game is at 4:30 or is at 7:30 Eastern. All rough.
Feasibly do that. You, poor. I mean, this is almost like you just stay up. It's like 1:30 a.m. Like, that's almost you just stay up late. It's like I get up early, you stay up late. Like, we record it.
Exactly. So there are a few other games that day that can be watched in the middle of the night on the Olympic Channel and on NBC Sports Network. Like, Great Britain has a game and some other teams. And I did read it, but it's right here in my other tab. Great Britain has a game. Great Britain has a game against Chile. China is playing Brazil. Japan is playing Canada, which will be a good game. Mm-hmm. Zambia versus the Netherlands. And a game that we really should be caring about because they're in our group is Australia versus New Zealand, which I think will be a good game anyway. And that's 7:30 a.m. Eastern time on USA.
I'm stressed about our group. But part of me is glad that we just get Sweden out of the way right away. Like, just do it.
Especially while they're like hot. They've been playing games. They're warmed up. They've been playing together as a unit. It'll be real good. So the games for the soccer teams, both men and women, all genders, is 2 days before the opening ceremony, which is now becoming a common thing for soccer because they have to travel to stadiums all over the host country and they can't successfully fit games and travel and rest into the finite time of the Olympics. So the setup was kind of rough, but they're starting 2 days before the opening ceremony, which is on July 23rd. Third, at birth Miranda.
Hey.
Anyway, watch the games if you can't. If not, you know, we'll keep you updated. Don't worry.
Oh boy, will we. Thanks for that great pick, Anna. We're so pumped that these players are full roster members. They absolutely deserved to be full roster members from the beginning. Wish that also meant that maybe, I don't know, Midge Purse could have also been. It's a little, anyway.
We could talk about this for an entire pod episode.
Absolutely.
We could give you all the reasons why Midge Purse should be on the roster. We could have a whole presentation ready for you.
Like a little PowerPoint. All right. My number two hot pick is that I went to an NWSL game and it was amazing. It's not a typical pick, but we're not a typical pod. Actually, I'm sure there's lots of podcasts like ours, but
we do what we want.
This is exactly what we're doing. On July 3rd, 2021, Anthony and I went to our first NWSL match ever. It was the Portland Thorns versus Racing Louisville in Louisville with our friends Casey and Abby. Shout out. Yay. They are Louisville natives and have season tickets, and they, along with everyone at Lynn Family Stadium, showed us a very good time. It was so dope. We'll start off. First, the match itself. While we were decked out in Racing Louisville gear because I didn't want to be a dick, I did want them to do well. So they're playing at home. I wanted them to do well. It was also difficult for me to not show some like major excitement at a 2-0 win for Portland. Rocky Rodriguez made a penalty shot in the first half, and then early in the second half, Simone Charlie had the dopest of dope headers that I happened to catch on video. And, like, I saw Megan Klingenberg take the corner that led to it from, like, 10 feet away. And it was amazing. I yelled at her about her neck, which we found out what the neck thing is. It, like, helps increase blood flow to your brain so that, like, it's supposed to help with concussions. Because Emily Mangus has one, too. So there's multiple people with the neck things. And we found out why. So it's supposed to increase blood flow. So if, like, absorb more stuff. So anyway, I did yell at her. Megan Klingenberg, girlfriend! Megan Klingenberg, neck! She, of course, did not hear me, which is really good. So, it was so cool. And also, Racing put up a hell of a fight. And stars like Savannah McCaskill, Yuki Nagasato, Shayna Matthews, Michelle Betos, Ebony Salmon, CeCe Kaiser, they all gave us a show. It was great. It was also great. I, like, freaked out because we got to see Sophia Smith, like, warming up close. And to watch Olivia Moultrie have her NWSL debut at age 15, holy crap, that is a much longer story that involves lawsuits and restraining orders against the league's age limit. But just so you know, she is now the youngest player to debut, and there's a lot of shit happening behind it. But she signed a 3-year contract with the Thorns, and that's pretty cool. But she made her debut.
She's half the age of us. Half of it.
We were in either late... No, I was in high school.
We were in high school. Yep. Yes.
So anyway, I mean,
that's also just incredible that she's good enough at 15 to be playing professionally. Like, that's outrageous.
Good for you. So anyway, I think my friend Casey wanted to murder me. I'm very sorry, Casey. You're such a gracious host, and I did cheer for the other team. by the end of it, because I did show Portland some love, but, like, such a great experience. All right, next, there's stadium. So Lynn Family Stadium, which opened just last year, and it's for Louisville City, which is the USL team there for men, and then also for Racing Louisville in the NWSL. Brand new, and it was quite the atmosphere. Like, they already have a strong fan following, and this game had over 6,000 people there, which is I was looking up numbers from like 2018, 2019. It's incredibly comparable and even better than some places, except for the Thorns. I'm very sorry. LOL, they have like 20,000 people at their games. That's not a thing in most places. But compared to everywhere else, and as for an expansion team, for a team in their first year to already have such a strong base and so many people behind them and have like a, you know, having like a cheering section and like drums and shit, like it was great to see that from an expansion team. They also have these areas at the end line where you can just like go up and it's like literally directly next to the field. Like anybody can go stand there. It doesn't matter where you have a ticket. Like you can just go during the game and just like stand there and watch. Like, and that's how we saw Sophia Smith so close.
Incredible.
Yes. It's like a beautiful space and they're doing a lot to make the team accessible. And just like riffing off of my own thing by making them accessible. They actually were accessible. Like kids and adults waited in the stands by the fields after the match was over. And so many of the racing players were there to like take pictures, sign jerseys, and just talk to the fans. Like Christy Holly, the head coach, came down. Anthony and I shook hands with him. It's fine. We were fine. Not freaking
totally
out
chill.
He was like, we'll get him next time. And I was like, I don't know how to do your accent, but yes.
Whatever you say.
Yes. We like, we fist bumped a bunch of players. Anthony was like, their sweat is now my sweat. And we got to like just, they came up and just were like chatting with people like casually and taking pictures. We got pictures with Savannah McCaskill, Yuki Nagasato, Michelle Batos, Jorian Baucom, and CC Kaiser. Just like all of us are just like dorky ass smiles, like freaking out because these players are just like, yeah, sure, we'll take a picture with you. And it was like they were gracious and friendly. And like the fact that they made time for fans was so fucking cool. Like I loved it. And then finally, I also got a picture with Simone Charlie and, you know, forward for the Portland Thorns, Vanderbilt graduate. She had some friends and family come to see her because she's from the South. I think she's from Alabama, Birmingham area. And I kept like not wanting to go over there because like I didn't have any Thorns stuff on and there were a few Thorns like fans there. And finally, like after some convincing, they were like, Jillian, just go. And I was like, okay, fine. And I did. And I just like went and the fans were like, hey, Simone, there's like one more person. I was like, hi. And I was like, I'm a covert Thorns fan and I'm from Tennessee. And my brother lives in Portland. I'm just a really big fan. Can we get a picture? And she was like so nice and had a like big smile on her face and took a selfie with me. And like, I'm so fucking sorry, Simone Charlie, if you're listening, I know you're not. But like, I promise I'm not that weird. And thank you for being cool about this like starstruck moment. It was just so cool. And like, I just, it was such a fantastic experience. Like, I think I'm like a racing fan, like now, not, you know, like second to the Thorns, but like, I think they have eclipsed Chicago for me as like my second favorite team. And big shout out to our friends, Casey and Abby, for like being such good hosts and being such dedicated fans. And like, we just can't wait to come back. It was really cool. Like, it was such a good time. I will shut up.
And you're going to another game.
Yes. So this past week, I bought tickets for Anthony and my brother and me to go see the Thorns play at Providence Park in Portland in September for a game against the Washington Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
So
and that's going to be awesome. Like Trinity Rodman. You get to see Trinity Rodman.
Oh, my God. It's too much.
It's incredible.
I'm going to love it, but yes.
It's going to be amazing.
It's such a cool thing to be able to go to, like, sports matches again, as if I've ever talked about sports before, to sports games and things. It's just, it's really great to get back there. And I'm hoping that like as more and more teams come into the league, Anna and I can go to more in-person games and we can toss some of this stuff in here. So it's not just us like sitting at our computers and TVs. Like we enjoy soccer, but we never do anything. Like, so it was really cool. That's my number two.
I love that for you. And the pictures were so cool. We'll post.
Oh yeah.
We'll post the video at the very least.
Oh yeah. I'll make sure Anna has all the weird selfies and
I definitely have some.
Yes, you have some of them. I'll send. Yeah. I was sending it. I was like, Anna, I hope you're okay with me just like bombarding you with like videos. And I was like, oh my God, look, it's Sophia Smith. Oh my God, look, I got the stolen video.
I was doing something. I don't know what I was doing. I guess I do things sometimes. And every like few minutes, I would like take out my phone and I was like, and I'd just be like, oh my God, that's so cool.
It's just so cool too. That's like so close. Louisville's only 4 hours away. like from us. I mean, and I guess how far away is San Diego from Phoenix? Like 8 hours?
Yes. Now San Diego is a 5 hour drive and LA is a 6 hour drive.
Oh yeah. So you're going to be a lot closer to some teams too. So feasible.
Yeah. I'm amped. Anyway, I'm so glad you got to go to a game. It sounds like so much fun. I'm amped. And I wasn't even there. I remember, I was helping my friend move. That's what I was doing.
Wow.
My number two hat pick is Ashlyn Harris being goddamn royalty for the Orlando Pride. In her past two games, Ashlyn Harris has been doing the goddamn work. And I'm going to start with her incredible PK stop against the North Carolina Courage. Yes, North Carolina won. No, I don't care to talk about it anymore. In the 34th minute, Jess McDonald has basically a breakaway. Like, she's just going for it. And Toni Pressley is running alongside her, trying to get ahead of her to shut down the run. But she ends up doing a tackle inside the 18 that the refs call a penalty, which is unfortunate because, yeah, I mean, you could look at it multiple ways and it could be considered a penalty or not. Anyway, 35th minute, Lynn Williams steps up to the spot and takes the penalty. Williams sends it to the lower right corner. It was like a solid penalty shot, but Ashlyn Harris reads that shit and shuts it down. She is a force of nature on that line when it comes to penalties. Her ability to read players' bodies when they step up to the spot is, like, honestly some of the best that I've seen. And I've been watching the Euros for the men, and that has, like, so many penalties, not, like, during the game, but because extra time, you know. Ashlyn Harris is, like, right up there with them. Like, she's so good. And it was so good, in fact, that it ended up being save of the week, which is absolutely deserved.
Fuck yeah.
So good. Now, that penalty was incredible. I mean, she's great. But then the Orlando Pride played last night against Racing Louisville, and Ashlyn Harris was also a star. And before we get to the impressiveness of Ashlyn Harris in this, I'm going to set up the scene a little bit, okay? So Ebony Salmon scores the goal in the 21st minute, putting Louisville up 1-0 pretty early on. And they kept this lead until the 95th minute. And, you know, while we're here, we might as well talk about Ebony Salmon's goal. You know, just, I'm already here. So this goal is like a full field goal. It starts on the back line. Gemma Bonner has the ball just outside of the 18 and passes it out wide to Erin Simon, who takes a quick touch and passes it forward to Lauren Millier. Millier looks up, sees the run of Ebony Salmon, and she sends a beautiful pass around the back line to find Ebony Salmon. Salmon meets the ball about 25 yards away from the goal, and she's running up directly up against Allie Krieger. But Salmon takes a couple touches and just straight up pushes Krieger off of her. Like, it was like nothing. She was just like running and she's like, actually, I don't want you here, so please go away. And just like pushes her.
Shoved her, yes.
And then she just shoots and scores. It was beautiful and just an incredible team goal. Yeah. We love to see it. But back to Ashlyn Harris. That's who this is about. So we're in stoppage time. Orlando has been working very hard the entire game to equalize. They tried. There's a couple good opportunities. Sydney LaRue was just going balls to the wall, trying so hard to equalize. And then finally, in the 95th minute, Ashlyn Harris is at the midline and sends the ball downfield. She tries this one and it ends up getting bounced back to her. And then she does it again and the ball makes its way into the 18. The ball goes over the Orlando players. It goes over the Louisville players. And you know who is there making a goddamn run? Sydney freaking LaRue. There's like an errant bounce through the group of players in the box, and LaRue finds it. She gives it a quick touch. It goes across Michelle Batos and finds the back post to tie the game up, baby, in the 95th minute.
Ouch.
It was outrageous. The official assist went to Taylor Korniak, which is bonkers because she clearly didn't touch it because it went over her head, even though she's the Orlando. Yeah, she's the Orlando version of the Tower of Power, but it still goes over her. It is an Ashlyn Harris assist, and I will die on this hill. Okay?
You can put a little gravestone for me, but this is where I'll stay.
Thank you very much, please. It was incredible. Ashlyn Harris is just one of the best keepers in the game, and we love to see it.
Like, I hope you all can – well, we should, you know, we should post the highlights. But, like, the, she, like – shoves her like fingers, like her goalie glove fingers in her ears, like after, and she's just like so fucking amped after she saves that penalty. Like, it's just unreal. Like, she saved 3 penalties this season alone. It's just like, it's fucking nuts.
She's so good.
So good. We love it. All right. Now, on to our hat tips. So,
yeah.
So this week we have a hat trick of hat tips for you. There's There's been so much good soccer, as I mentioned previously, so we had some trouble narrowing it down. So, like, here's this hat trick. So many honorable things worth mentioning. LOL.
First, we have Jasmine Spencer, formerly of OL Reign fame, who doesn't have a coach anymore. OL Reign does not have a coach anymore. Anyway, yeah. So Jasmine Spencer, it's not about OL Reign, it's about Jasmine. Jasmine Spencer scored a goal in her debut start with the Houston Dash, and it was against her old team, and it was gorgeous. She's dope as hell and a great player and one to watch. And so here's to more good shit happening for her with the Dash.
I love it. She was just so fucking amped. It was so great to see.
Yeah, so good.
She was like, yes! Especially when you get traded like mid-season.
Yeah, this was almost one of my hat picks because it was just so good.
So good. So next, hat tip, tipping of hats, Sammy Mealy, Tower of Power, won an ESPY for Best International Athlete Women's Soccer. Look, as we all know, Sam Mewis is like the finest of wines, and she has been aging and getting better with time. So, like, just love this journey for her. As we've talked about, she's like crushed at Man City, is doing really well with the U.S. Women's National Team and with the Courage. So deserving. She's just made so many strides in the past year and loving this journey for her. Very deserving.
Last, we have to mention a North Carolina loss when we can. And boy, did Ashley Hatch of the Washington Spirit just shit all over them last night.
She did.
She really did. She had not one, but two excellent goals in the first half that led to a Spirit win. And, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to talk about North Carolina doing poorly, we're going to take it. So what a night for Ashley Hatch and for Washington. Just a goddamn delight.
They were good goals. Ashley Hatch has had at least like one or two call-ups to the national team, I think. But I expect we'll be seeing some more from her. She's a really solid player. She has done very well this season.
Absolutely. She's just not as consistent as the people who are getting called up to the U.S. Women's National Team. And I think that if she can work on that, then she will be just top-notch. It's the same with Andy Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So we have a hat drop this pod, and this one's on us.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Jillian is miming a hat dropping. But you can't see that.
Oh, I'll probably insert that sad noise in there.
That's probably a good one. So this is about the Hope Solo Hall of Fame discussion that we had a few pods ago. We talked about Christy Pierce being selected for the National Soccer Hall of Fame. And in that discussion, I mentioned Hope Solo as someone who is deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. And that discussion wasn't as well thought out or as well fleshed out as it should have been. And that's on me. I talked about how Hope Solo is the best keeper that the U.S. Soccer Federation has ever seen, and how things that she has done or have participated in her personal life shouldn't matter. And I dropped the ball, the proverbial soccer ball.
Or the hat.
And not – that makes a lot more sense. We dropped the pun and not diving into any criticism in the way that the Hall of Fame voting is done, and then – used that as an excuse to separate player and person. And that's a slippery slope and isn't a thing that I want to get in the habit of doing. And we're talking about this again because Hope Solo, you know, has been accused of and arrested for domestic abuse in the past. And I mentioned that and I glazed right over it in the last discussion. And it's not okay to just decide to not pay attention to that regardless of how good of a player she was when she was with the team. I failed to match my action to my intention. So y'all heard a discussion where I didn't do the work to make it as clear as possible. So thanks to Anthony, who had a discussion with Jillian, for bringing that up so that we could talk about it again.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about it. And it's important because, like, we, you know, I think the point of what was trying to say is that, like, the Hall of Fame is not saying that they're, like, saying actively that they're, like, taking into account, like, someone's character or actions off the field. Which, like, maybe they should be taking those things into account, but they're not saying it. And we also don't want to, like, on this pod, like, we don't want to get in the habit of just saying, like, we're going to forget about, like, the person themselves. You know, we want to be part of what we're trying to do is use our platform to be critical of things on and off the field. And we just didn't do that as much in the last one. So we just wanted to take the time to kind of correct ourselves and say, like, you know, those things matter. Like, it matters that she was arrested for that. It was mattered that, you know, no, she was not charged, but, like, we can't just gloss over and, like, pretend that it didn't happen, because it does. And that is, like, it does make a difference.
Absolutely. So that is our hat drop this pod. We are sorry. We're working on being better.
We will do. We know better. We'll do better. Yes.
Absolutely. Now onto something that is, como se dice, exciting.
Yes.
The U.S. women's national team dominated against Mexico in the send-off series. And especially that goal, looking at you, Danielle Chesky.
We will get to this. I can't even.
So our number, our number one hat pick is just the U.S. women's national team, full stop. So on July 1st and 5th, the U.S. women's national team played Mexico for its two final domestic games before heading out to Tokyo for the send-off series. And to no one's surprise, the U.S. dominated these games, winning both 4-0, except the second game should have definitely been at least 5-0 and easily 6-0. And Danielle Chesky is on our shit list, but we'll get to that in a moment. We're not there yet. And before we talk about how great the U.S. women's national team is, I wanted to mention how impressed I am with the Mexican national team. They have some young stars, especially Maria Sanchez, who's on the Houston Dash, so you can watch her some more.
Hey.
She was also crushing it in the Mexican League, La Liga. She's just so good. But I think in the future that these young stars that they have will cause some problems for the U.S. women's national team in the next few years. And they have a great foundation, which I'm excited to see. But now we are moving back to the U.S. women's national team and how they trounce them, because that foundation has not been built up yet for Mexico. There are too many incredible things to talk about. So we're mostly just going to focus on the goals and the should have been goals from these two games.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, I mean, Mexico is just a really young team right now, but I totally agree with Anna that there's like really great things to come. A lot of potential there. So the first goal of the send-off series was a Mew-I goal. Yes. In the 21st minute, Pino passes a ball inside to Christy Mewis, who gets herself to the top of the 18. And K-Mew takes a great turn to get around the Mexican defender and passes it further inside to Sam Mewis. I was like, S-Mew? Not as cool.
No, that's why I started typing that, but I took it out.
Inside to Sam Mewis. Sammy Mewy takes a step with the ball and just sends a bullet to the lower right corner. It was simple. It was beautiful. And we love a sister connection. A sister. They called it a sister assist or I don't know, but I was like,
a sister.
Yeah, they didn't call it that though. They were like, they didn't do that. Like I was like, that's a missed opportunity. You could just make it one word. A sister.
It so, does. I think that if it's not written, it does get confusing because it just sounds like you're saying
a sister. Somebody who assisted. A sister.
It's like saying Kirby.
That's correct. Sorry, that doesn't translate well over our audio-only pod.
But we're actually not that sorry, and we'll continue to do all of these things.
Correct. Next, I think at this point it is important to mention how it was like a fucking downpour during this game. It started off okay, and then there was just like so much rain. So much. In the 39th minute, we see a beautiful, beautiful Kristen Press goal. Which, is there anything else? Are there any other goals? Like, does Kristen Press score unbeautiful goals?
No, that is a fair point.
Yep. So Sam Mewis has the ball just outside of the 18 and sends a sneaky through ball to Megan Rapinoe, who is making a run. And then Rapinoe gets a simple touch on it to cross it, and Kristen Press is right there making a run in front of the goal to put the U.S. up 2-0. Bam! We love it. We fucking love it.
It was like what they teach you in soccer clinics.
Yes.
It was perfect. Okay. Now, the return we've all been waiting for.
Gasp. Insert gasp.
Tobin Heath gets subbed on in the 74th minute.
Wow.
And then she scores 40 seconds later.
Yes.
So Alex Morgan picks the ball off of a Mexican player and sends a ball forward where Heath finds it. She like does like a backwards across her body turn. And mind you, this is all taking place around 40 yards away from the goal. So we're like close to the halfway point of the field. And so you're just like, okay, great. Heath has it. And now she might actually run, which is incredible. But Heath jokes on us. Heath takes a few touches, dances around a defender a bit because she's Tobin Heath, and then shoots the ball from like 30 yards out, which catches Emily Alvarado, the Mexican keeper, off guard. The ball hits the left post and dinks its way to the back of the goal, putting the U.S. women's national team up 3-0, and also means that Tobin Heath is back, baby.
Yeah. It was so good. And, you know, earlier I was just talking about, like, people shooting from far away. It's like, fucking take that shot. She was like, I see an opportunity. I'm going to fucking do it. And it's great.
Also because she doesn't like to run.
Yes. She's like, oh, that's so much farther for me to run. I could just shoot it from here.
And not I will.
Run. And it worked. So in the 85th minute, Tierna Davidson is bringing the ball down the near side of the pitch and sends an incredible ball inside towards the goal that finds Kristen Press near post. Press, in all of her infinite wisdom, takes a quick touch and deflects it to the far side of the goal where she knew Alvarado was not expecting it. It goes up and over the keeper to put the U.S. women's national team up 4-0 late in the game. Allie Wagner even mentions how difficult that touch was, not just because of the rain, because, like, we did talk about that there was a lot of rain. Do you remember that? It happened just a few seconds ago. There was so much fucking rain. It was, like, you could see it. It was, like, it was not just, like, a drizzle. It was a downpour.
Yeah.
But Press hits the ball with the outside of her foot on a half volley and just, so good. The U.S. Women's National Team wins. It's incredible. Next game.
Yes, on to the second game versus Mexico on July 5th. You know, it doesn't take long for the U.S. to strike. Kelly O'Hara sends a long ball up toward Mexico's goal, and Carly Lloyd gets ahead on it and directs it towards Lindsay Horan, who hits that shit on the fucking volley, and it is a powerful first goal, 1-0. And this goal is particularly great because it actually showed some control on Horan's part to not jump the gun and get offside. She just bided her time and waited and was able to stay onside and then was able to hit the ball perfectly. So we love when players learn. Then in the 11th minute, the play is up by the box on Mexico's half because, you know, it's really never towards the U.S. national team half. Sammy Mui sends the ball out to Crystal Dunn, who is a perfect angel and we love her.
So
she can do no wrong. I didn't even write this, but it sounds like I wrote it. Because this is how I describe her. So
this
Dunn crosses it
in. Opinion of the pod.
Yeah, I mean, we are our own version of the Crystal Dunn fan club. And if there's an actual Crystal Dunn fan club, can we join? Where are you?
You can email us at halfpixpod@gmail.com.
We would love to be a part of it. Anyway. So the way we talk about them is totally normal. Anyway. Dunn crosses it in chef's kiss fashion. And Carly Lloyd said,
Anna did not read this ahead of time.
I did not. Okay. Carly Lloyd said, I will take a nap here, and just happened to hit the ball with her head. JK, she dove and did a header, and it was a nice goal, I guess. I mean, it is kind of what it looks like. She just kind of like lays out. And I mean, it does look like she will take a nap here. You're not wrong. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway. And like literally the next minute of the game, we have perhaps the best team goal in U.S. Women's National Team history. Like, I cannot describe to you how perfectly this played out and how, but it wasn't by mistake. This was like well-timed, intentional passes and intentional runs by people. And it was amazing.
And other players, like past players were like Julie Foudy, Abby Wambach, other past players were like posting it on their social medias being like, this is the best thing that we've seen from this team ever. And we were on this team.
Yeah. And some of the best players to ever grace the team, you know. So it's just saying a lot about what this goal is. We will definitely have to be sure to post this one. But the frustrating and enraging, I was like a fucking rage monster when this happened.
Yeah.
The enraging part of this is that it did not count. But it counts in our minds, so we're going to talk about it, bitches.
Absolutely.
So Rose Lavelle sends the ball back to Kelly O'Hara, who takes like a single touch and then passes it to Tobin Heath, who has ironically made a run to make herself open. Who would have thought? But she makes this run, meets the ball, then she one touch passes it to Lindsay Horan, who one touch passes it back to Rose Lavelle, who is in the process of making a run upfield. She then one touch passes it to Carly Lloyd while absorbing a foul and gets knocked down. She's doing this all while, like, it's amazing. Lloyd then one touch passes it back to Heath. This means that I hope this is clear. It means that they're not like settling the ball. They are literally like the ball is coming towards them and then they're making the pass. Like there is no like turning, making direction. So Lloyd one touches it back to Heath, who is making a run towards the center. And then so she does take the ball for a little bit, runs with it, and she makes like a beautiful through pass past some defenders to like a beautifully open Kristen Press. Let's see how many times I can say the word beautiful in terms of this goal, because there's never enough.
It's correct.
So she's Kristen Press is open and she flicks it to the right just in time to avoid the goalie and sends it in for what should be a 3-0 game. Re-watching this happen, the flow of it, like how quickly their minds have to be moving to see these plays happening, it's unreal. But you want to know what fucking happened, listeners? You want to fucking know what happened? Callback. Remember that shitty-ass ref from the very first game of the Challenge Cup for the Thorns with the dangerous play and the million red cards and the shoving when they played Kansas City? Well, it's the same ref. Danielle Chesky just happened to accidentally blow her whistle, she said. And that's why the goal was called back.
Like, no shit, genuinely said that out loud so that other people would know that she made a mistake like that rather than just trying to own it.
The goal was taken away, even though in no way, shape, or form could this goal have been misconstrued as being offside. No way. There are so many times where we see stuff and it's like, okay, yeah, I don't agree that that's offside, but at least it's arguable. This, it's not arguable. Kristen Press was so clearly onside when this happened. It's like not even funny. It's not funny. I'm upset. The opinion of the pod is we are upset. And it's infuriating. This is the kind of play that we have been waiting to see from the U.S. women's national team. And it doesn't count. Like, I mean, it counts in our hearts, but that's not the same as counting on the scoreboard. And I mean, no one is going to be able to take away that beautiful play. Like that is, you know, I'm sure that that's going to be shown as like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do in soccer. You know, and it was just so well timed, well played, well thought out. And I hope Danielle Chesky steps in a hole somewhere. I don't know. Like, I don't want you to get that hurt, but like, I want you to like stop and think about what you did. Like, what is that Taylor Swift song? Now it's time for you to stop and think about what you did.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah.
I don't have those in my head all the time, but
I do. So
on top of the fact that it should have counted, Vlatko even said, he's like, I'm counting this as a goal for Kristen Press, like in my head, which, and obviously he's counting that as a goal for the team, but also especially for Kristen Press, like she had an incredible streak going. She was like 35 out of 36 games, and that was taken away from her, which is bullshit, but at least Vlatko knows that she's capable.
Right.
Anyway, rant over. Moving on to goals that the refs didn't fuck with. In the 37th minute, Tobin Heath is at the top of the box and gets a pass from Kristen Press. Heath sends a rocket of a ball into the goal, and it squarely hit the crossbar, which was a bummer.
Yes.
It bounces way up, and Press follows the shot and is there to meet the ball and sends it back in. It ricochets off the keeper and ends up getting in the goal from a Mexican defender, so technically it's an own goal, but whatever, Kristen Press did a hell of a job following it.
Seriously. And this is just another prime example of the famous Ralph Smith quote, follow your shots. I mean, truly though, like, I mean, obviously it ended up bouncing off of a Mexican defender's hand to get in, but Kristen Press was there. It would not have happened. That play was brought to you by Kristen Press. You know, Absolutely. That goal was brought to you by Kristen Press. The fact that that also got taken away from her, you know, I mean, that sucks, but that's kind of the way of it sometimes.
Of the pod that it is consistently bullshit.
It's not great, but also, I mean, I do at least see with this one that, like, it did touch a Mexican player's, like, yeah, like, right. we see that.
But also, there's so many times, like, there is a game, and this was with the men, and I think it was maybe an MLS game. I can't remember. I saw it recently where the guy full on slapped the ball into the goal with his hand and they just considered it a goal. They did not call it they didn't call it a handball. They didn't call it anything. It was just a goal. And he like spiked it into the goal volleyball style. I'm just saying maybe reffing could be better.
Maybe it could be. So, but the fact that she was there, like, to follow Tobin Heath's shot that ricocheted off the bar, like, the fact that she was, like, available and kept going and didn't just say, oh, missed opportunity, like, that's the kind of play that we're hoping to see consistently from the team, especially as we head into the Olympics. Like, to be there to take every opportunity, even the ones we think that might be missed. Just, like, go all the way, make sure it goes in. So it's good to see. And then finally, 2 minutes later, because all of these goals happened in the first half, Sam Uys, like, muscles the ball away from a Mexican player and makes a run into the box. She makes, like, a nice little pass to Tobin Heath, who sends in a left-footed bit. Oh, yeah. And this was, like, I mean, the announcer said this, too. They said it was, like, very unselfish on Sam Uys's part because she really was open, and she very easily could have taken that shot herself, but she sent it to Tobin Heath, and who got it off with her left foot. It was so great. It was so great. And, like, oh, my God, dear Jesus Christ, thank you so much for bringing Tobin Heath back to us. Because, like, already 2 games, 2 goals, had a part and another goal that didn't count. But, like, she's already making a difference. And, like, I know that we talked about the fact that she, like, hasn't been training with the team as much and not doing that. And that's all well and good, and it's important to note. But also, we're fucking glad that she is back.
She's so good. And I know we really only talked about the U.S. Women's National Team here, and I know that we mentioned Mexico and their foundation early on, but they did have a lot of, like, opportunities, especially in that first game. They just couldn't – it's hard when you have a solid team, but you have, like, one star up top, which means that she doesn't really have anybody to pass to. She's, like – she's seeing things that the other players aren't. And that's Maria Sanchez. She's just, like, so outstanding that she – I mean, one person can't carry a team, and I'm not saying that the other players on that team are not also very, very good, but she has a vision for offensive plays that I think the rest of her team doesn't have yet. And when they do, Mexico's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But right now, they just had a lot of great opportunities. And I think in the coming years when we play them, we're going to see a lot more than opportunities from them.
Absolutely. And I forgot the keeper's name, but they're
Emily Alvarado.
Alvarado also had a couple of, like, really impressive saves too. So I think I am excited to see what's coming up for them. And, you know, I'm not just saying this. I mean, this is something that I think people talk about. Like, the more that they play teams like the U.S., like, teams of that caliber, the better that they will be as well. You know, because if you're always – and it's kind of the same, you know, it's the same for the U.S. The more that you play teams that are, like, more difficult for you, the more that you can learn. And so I think that you're playing a couple of games against this top quality team, like, there's so much that you're going to be able to extract from that and learn from and just get better and grow. And I mean, that's, like, while we love the U.S. Women's National Team being number one all the time, always, like, it's also cool to see the sport, like, expanding and growing and, like, to see other teams getting stronger. Like, we also want that. Like, even if, dare I say, it means we don't win as much, you know.
But even, I mean, I think that it feels better to be at the top when you've beat or you've, like, surpassed teams and people that are also incredible. Like, yeah. And the U.S. Women's National, I think that really happened in the World Cup. We played hard against a France team, a Netherlands team, a Spain team, you know, like, they were the best against other teams who were incredible. Yeah. And so being in that top spot means more. And if they can hold on to that, and if they can't, whatever team does, like, I think it means more when you're able to surpass other teams and players that are also top notch. It's exciting.
Yeah. There's good stuff happening. And it just means that we're going to have so much to talk about. Sometime soon, we will be talking about the Olympics, I assume, and whatever comes next, because there's going to be so much good soccer, not only in our group, which is a nutso-butso group. How did that happen? But also just a lot of other great teams who are going to be in Tokyo. It is sad, I think, for the players that their families can't be there, that there's no fans. But I don't think it's going to detract too much. I think that they're going to play their hearts out, do their best, every single team who's there. And I think it's going to be really fun to watch. Hopefully everybody's being safe and shit over there because it's a state of emergency.
Yeah, because there is still a pandemic happening. So
in case you forgot.
Oh, God.
Get vaccinated, yeah. You bozos.
Please. Please, I want to do
in America. Again. In America, I know the vaccine's not as widely available internationally for all our international listeners. Sorry, but if you're in the United States,
two of you.
get
your vaccine, please.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
please. Anyway,
yep, mm-hmm.
That's our pod.
That's the show. That's
you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @HatPicksPod. You could send us an email and let us know about that Crystal Dunn fan club at hatpickspod@gmail.com. Also, if there's a Midge Purse fan club, we would also love to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Yes.
Just let us know about the fan clubs.
That's great. So great. And I guess on that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.